Yo, what's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Flagrant 2, analysis by assholes, no easy buckets, water cooler commentary for your sports needs. I'm here right now with Akash Singh.
What's up?
Real life Kaz is taking, an emotional break. He's doing what,
He had therapy, I forget what kind, something like conversion. Something about that. I don't remember exactly what it was.
No, he's doing what most black dudes do when they're going through a tough time. You go on vacation to Seattle, obviously, because and go get you some pale white bitches.
Hey man, Kaz.
That's how you come back. That's where Kaz getting his groove back. He's gonna get his groove back in Seattle. Listen to some fucking Nirvana in utero. Get you a girl that got mad. Fuck it. What is it? What are they called? Tattoos? What are those strippers out there? The pale chicks?
I don't know, bro.
You know how? Have you ever seen girls in Seattle in the Washington area?
No. Why would I go to the Washington area?
Bro, relax. Bro, that's a very aggressive response. I'm not from there, so I'm just saying
like
maybe you travel.
It sounds like the corniest area on earth.
I don't know where you go. I don't know what you do. I don't know who you are. You know what I mean? Shit. Your girl could love Twilights.
Twilights in Seattle?
Yeah, that's where Twilight's
is. Of course, Twilight's in Seattle.
That's where the fucking pale-ass vampires are, son. The fuck else would you go if you was a vampire to Seattle?
I think I heard Seattle and Portland got beef, and it's like, that's the corniest beef ever. That's like the Drake Common beef for
Wait,
cities.
Drake and Common were beefing?
Years ago, yeah.
Over who could bang more 40-year-olds?
Actually, over Serena, I think.
Wow. I mean, that's worth it. And they both got scooped by a nerd.
Yeah.
Damn,
Snapchat,
yo.
Right?
No,
Snapchat?
No. It's, What's he on? Not BuzzFeed. One of those. Reddit.
One of the cuck sites.
He does Reddit. Yeah, he does Reddit. Shouts to Reddit. That shit look ugly. You ever go to Reddit.com?
Yo, it's the most basic.
It's mad. Yes.
That shit is a big comment section.
Get some fucking CSS or whatever that. What is
that? Shit look like MySpace.
Yo, get Squarespace. Shouts to Squarespace. Not even doing an ad on this show, but Reddit. Talk to Squarespace. Get your website game up.
That's what's up. Hmm. So Kaz is not with us. We're holding it down.
That means
we're probably gonna get pulled off the air by the end of an hour and a half.
It is what it is. Look, here's a couple things. One, everybody's been talking about, you know, the assholes. Everybody's been talking about the asshole army, the asshole brigade, the
asshole annihilators?
Asshole annihilators. That's a little bit pornographic for my taste. You know what I mean? Can't be repping the squad, which is the asshole annihilators. You have shorties leave the bottle table. Like, I don't know if I'm ready for this. Not enough Ciroc in me could let me get annihilated. But real talk, you know how we are. We are the tribe. We are the crew. We got the assholes. That is our loyal listeners. You know, when you see us in the streets, you got to throw your assholes up, okay? If you don't know what the asshole is that A-OK sign. You know the emoji, the A-OK?
Yeah.
That A-OK sign.
But
only you got to make it tight.
Tighten
curl
that
shit
up.
Don't have a big old wide annihilated asshole. Tighten that shit. Curl that shit real nice and tight. And you look right through it and then throw that shit up. All right? When we're posting stuff on the gram, throw the assholes up. Let people know what time it is. Let people know what tribe you're part of.
Let's get big enough that I got to make that emoji.
We got to make the tight asshole emoji.
Yeah.
Yo, that's what's up. All right, fair enough. Anyway, make sure you cop some merch. We got the merch out. It's crazy. We haven't got the cease and desist yet, but I think it's coming. You get them fight tees, get the hoodies. All the Flagrant 2 merch is available at flagrant2merch.com. So make sure you get that. And, of course, the live show in New York City, February 7th at the Highline Ballroom is going to be crazy. So make sure you check that out. Get the Highline Ballroom shit popping. Go to HighlineBallroom.com. Get
if
those
you
tips.
Don't live in New York and you somehow can't make it, tell your friends who live in New York to come through the show, because the better this does, the more live shows we can do, and then the sooner we can come to your city.
Great point.
So,
a great point that you
tell your friends who kind of fuck with us, don't fuck with us at all, haven't heard us, come through. Just listen.
Yeah, even
live show going to be the craziest.
Exactly. Just, you know, if you got friends that are assholes and they want to come and pull up and be part of the movement, make sure it happens. Yeah, man. So a lot of things happen in the sports world.
Yeah.
But obviously, we're not going to start out by talking about that. We're going to start talking about Alex and how Alex is newly single and he's thotting it up on a gram doing fucking pull-ups every day. Do you follow Alex on Instagram?
No, I don't.
Dude, this guy's at the gym doing fucking pull-ups. He's doing all these different types of pull-ups. He's getting his run on a treadmill. He's playing songs by Drake. Oh, yeah, yeah. You got to watch it. He's going through it, man. He's missing that asshole
eating. Let me tell you something. There is no better fitness plan on earth than heartbreak.
Oh, facts.
Nothing you can do will get you right like heartbreak.
Yo, facts. I'm going so hard right now.
No, for real. And ladies, if you're listening to this, keep this in mind. If your man is getting in shape, he's breaking up with you.
Real talk. Right?
He's just holding on to your ass until he loses 15 pounds so he could drop your ass, okay?
Ooh.
That's exact. Now, fellas, that's a weird thing. If a girl gets fat,
she loves you.
She loves you. That's comfort.
I remember we used to talk about, I don't think you ever did the bit, but we would like talk out writing sessions, and you used to have a thing about if your girl is dieting, you start getting nervous. And then if you're at a restaurant, you order salad, you like salad. What kind of dressing are you putting on that? Ice cream?
Yeah, why are you trying to stay in shape? But at the same time, I want them to be in shape.
Yeah, you don't want your girl to be fat.
You can't have your girl be fat. It's a peculiar, God, it's so weird, girls. It's just, I just want to be in a relationship. Bro, it's intoxicating, dude. Young pussy is intoxicating, dude. It's very difficult to do. Like, even there'll be younger girls that I know are not right. And I'm like, I know this is not going to go somewhere. I know that this is the bad thing. And I know that this is not going to be healthy. And I'll still gravitate towards it.
Yeah, there's a void in you. You're trying to fill.
There's a void in that I'm trying to fill, actually. Hey! No, but yeah, I don't know if it's about the void. I think it's a natural biological urge to fill them.
Andrew in particular, I've seen this man in relationships, and a single Andrew and in relationship Andrew, 180 degree difference. Single Andrew would hate relationship Andrew, and vice versa.
Why
relationship
so
Andrew would be like, why is single Andrew such a pig? Why can't he respect women?
Nah, we hard on these hoes in 2018.
But then you better stay single.
I'm gonna be in a relationship, I think, by the end of 2018.
You ain't not you.
Huh?
You're gonna be too deep. You can be sprung. Single Andrew gonna hate you.
Yo, it is hard, man. It is hard to be in a relationship.
It's hard to care about another person's feelings.
Yo, how responsible are we for other people's feelings? That's what this whole or like other people's comfort. That's what this whole Me Too shit is about, I'm realizing. It's like, are you responsible for someone else's comfort?
Okay, keep going.
I don't think you are.
My job on this podcast is to never stop this train of thought.
I'm just saying, I've
but
been thinking
I don't
about
know
this
where
shit.
The train is headed right
Everyone,
now.
Like, I'm reading all these. I'm not talking about the creeps and assholes that we all want out of here.
Okay.
The Weinsteins and that kind of shit.
There we
Bye.
Go. Right.
I'm talking about, like, you know, the Azizes, and I'm talking about these ones that are questionable, or even the Louis, right, where it's questionable. And it's like, a lot of this is girls complaining that men are not being responsible for their comfort. It's not anybody's job for you to be to maintain your comfort but you. And if you're uncomfortable, I think you just got to dip.
Can't both just be true? This is what I keep tripping on.
You
Can't-
feel like you're responsible. Because every time I go to therapy and I tell my therapist, I'm like, yeah, man, you know, sometimes in environments, I want to protect people. And like if somebody says a bad joke, I want to laugh for it. I just want to make sure they feel comfortable.
No.
And my therapist tells me, it's not your responsibility. Their well-being, their feelings are not your responsibility.
All right, cool. But there's a level of consideration that is, I might be making this person uncomfortable. Let me ease up. So men can do that, and women can also say, both can be true. Men can do better, and women can get the fuck up and walk out.
Right, but you can't create legislation based on it. That's all I'm trying to say. Like, I agree with you 1,000%, and that's what I do. If I sense anything uncomfortable, I'm like, yo, chill. We gotta chill. We gotta be cool. That being said, what I'm saying is, legally speaking, you can't say, hey, men, you guys need to be psychic and you need to know exactly what a girl's comfort levels are. You just can't say that.
No.
It's impossible to legislate.
That's what I'm saying.
Because how could you get proof?
Both can be true. I think both are true. Men can do better and women need to help us out.
Yeah, that broad-ass pussy-ass statement.
Yeah.
I'm saying specifically, that was a broad-ass pussy-ass statement
now
right
we
there.
Be more considerate of
men
what
can do better and
feeling.
We can do, yeah, and everybody has the right way and yeah. And Bernie 2020, whatever. It is what it is. My point is legislation beyond a shadow of a doubt. I'm trying to think of solutions. I'm trying to think of how do we protect women in the future. How do I protect my daughters? How do I protect
There is no level of legislation.
I think my point is, I think the way you protect is by saying, hey, you're accountable for your comfort. And if someone makes you feel uncomfortable, leave or get out of that situation. Don't go, why is this person making me feel uncomfortable? This person should know better than to make me feel uncomfortable. Why aren't they feeling what I'm feeling?
Yeah, I'm not disagreeing with you. Again, I'm not disagreeing
with
you.
Okay,
okay. Yeah, you got real defensive and yelled at me, and I never once said—
Son, I'm defensive! You didn't know that?
Yo. Listen, you're right. I also think men, we've all been in a situation where you're looking back and you're like, oh, I was kind of creepy. That was pretty creepy of me. I think that's one thing Me Too has done. We've all kind of looked back and been like, oh, all right, I see how she could. And here's where men really fuck themselves. If you're a dude, I don't think it's any of our listeners, but there are dudes who will hear that and be like, no, I respect women. No, you don't. You've been a creep at least once. And the more you put yourself on this pedestal of believe women and blah, 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 the harder you're going to fall.
Yeah. I agree. Don't put yourself on a pedestal. That's very smart. That's one of the reasons why I ain't going to fall.
Yeah.
And I thought about this is because if a girl comes up to my place, she knows I'm trying to fuck.
Exactly. That's what I said when we talked about it on the podcast.
No, and I'm with you. I'm with you about that. And I think you make a great point. Is it Aziz? And you said Aziz put himself up there as like this feminist.
Right.
Right. And then she, and like I was saying to you earlier, it was like she felt catfished.
Yeah.
She felt.
It's a great way of putting
it. Yeah. So it's like, it's no different than a catfish. Anybody who gets catfished is going to be upset. They're going to be hurt and they'll call up Neve and Max and they want to make a whole thing. And they want to. The whole point of that show, Catfish, is not to find out if they're being catfish. They know they're being catfish.
Yeah.
The point of that show is to humiliate the catfish for humiliating them.
That's what we're doing to Aziz.
And that's what this chick is doing to Aziz. It's you catfish me. I'm going to humiliate you. Max and Neve ain't about it. So get babe.net. Babe.net is gonna be part of the catfishing of these dudes.
Man.
So that's the if you throw your assholes up nice and tight,
you say
and
you I'm
wear
an
it
asshole.
On your sleeve, you say I'm an asshole. So then when you go shorty, you want to come upstairs. She knows. Oh, he's gonna try to fuck me. And then when I go upstairs and I try to fuck, you're not like shocked.
Yeah,
you're like, oh yeah, this is what I hoped would happen. That's why I'm up here.
This is what I knew was gonna
happen. Yeah, exactly. And then it's just not shocking.
And if they don't want to fuck and they want to come up and talk, they're going to know I'm talking to an asshole, so I got to let him know I'm not trying to fuck because this is an asshole.
Does. Hey, I'm not going to fuck.
And hey, that's what girls do with you, yeah.
And you know why they do it? Because I put that energy out first. Yeah. I put out the I'm a fuck energy. Put out the I'm a fuck energy. There's nothing wrong with it.
The problem
women
is...
Women respect it more.
Listen.
Y'all trying to sneak into pussy.
That's what it is.
You got to put your foot out first. I'm just saying, that's what's that thing called, not Tinder, the other one, Bumble, where the girl got to speak to you first?
Yeah, and girls hate Bumble. I wish, I never did a dating app. I wish I got on Bumble before I was in a relationship, just to see what that feels like.
Yeah, to be on the other side.
To be able to look at a girl's initial message and be like, oh, that's so whack.
Yeah.
She has no game.
All they do is judge their shit.
Yeah,
you know how hard
fuck.
It is to start a conversation with a complete stranger?
God.
And they all say that same shit. Hey, how was your weekend? I don't know. It was whatever. My weekend was whatever, lady. I don't know what to tell you. But it doesn't matter. Like, I'm not going to judge your opening line because your opening line is basically saying, can I fuck? By the way, Alex gave me an opening line.
No.
I'm going to tell it. I'm going to say it. I'm going to say it. Alex gave me a...
It right now.
Doesn't matter. I'm saying
no
it.
No women listen to this podcast.
Yeah, 90%
guy. Dudes are going to start using it.
All right, fine.
It's going to be sassy.
He swear this line is that good.
Yo.
He swear this line is that good. Yo, I matched with this shorty. This little girl's like...
99%.
This girl, little famous shorty, was on this little entertainment rap. I forget who she was. I absolutely say her name. And I'm like, yo, I'm not trying to fuck this one up. And Alex is bigging himself up about he got all the game. He understands how to play this fucking online shit. Yo. Hold on one second.
Bimble. I mean, whatever.
Bumble,
fucking...
Bimble, he called her?
Can't
he call these bitches bimbos?
That's
all right, look.
That's all she has to say, folks.
All right. Don't say it yet. Let me tell you. Okay, so stop. Akash, please.
Can I look at the picture of the bitch, please?
Okay, fine.
Jesus.
Okay, fine.
You can keep talking. What are you, my girlfriend?
I need your attention,
motherfucker. You need eye contact, motherfucker?
Yes, I need eye contact.
Jesus.
Sorry if I want the attention of the person I'm talking to.
You're not putting out my line.
So listen.
I'm more upset that you bragging about this bitch, Alex.
Yo,
no,
son.
I'm just saying.
Listen, Alex, let me see.
This is like she loves cats.
Bro.
I'm talking about animals and the play.
You say I got no upper lip.
No.
That girl got nose, son. She don't even have lip or any part of the face. It just goes lip
I
to nose.
I told you she loves cats.
Yo.
No, I said that shit. Her last
Yo,
picture
that's
is her
a good
with
call.
A cat.
That's a good call. Okay. So anyway, so I go, all right, what should I say? What is your little thing? Blah, blah, blah. Because I usually do this other shit.
Oh,
and he goes, oh, yeah, I got the best one. It always works. I go, all right, what's the line? He goes, just ask her, do you like nachos?
I think that works,
son. I was caught up in his enthusiasm and shit. I was caught up in his confidence. You know what I mean? Like, it was just one of those things where I had a it was a Trump effect. You know, I had a charismatic leader. and he was saying all the right things. So I say, how I do you like nachos? To this day, I don't know if this bitch like nachos or not. Because I got zero response from that shit.
And I don't know if it'll work on Riot with a famous girl, but my homie said his homie's line.
Yeah, yeah.
Which was, and he's like, it works 100% of the time. It was, you look like trouble.
Great!
Yo, think about a young, dumb,
yeah, it works on
19-year-olds. Yes.
Yeah, 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 sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, who are you trying to fuck? Respectable women?
Yes!
Get the fuck out of my face,
so,
bro.
Yo, real talk, I'm not joking around.
Actually, he is. Like,
I X on girls that are like 22 now. You got to be older for me. I want older.
How much older? You just said young pussy's intoxicating 4 minutes ago.
That's why I X on it. Because I make the wrong decisions with it. You feel me? Like, it's too intoxicating that I can't trust myself with it.
He X's on some nice ones, too.
They're too young. It's too young. I'm going for older. I want older.
Raya, you still got to message them
old.
First, right?
Old is in. 24. Let me get a nice 24, 25, like a vintage. You know what I mean? I need some vintage, something with flavor.
Yeah. Somebody who remembers the 90s.
Exactly. A nice 1993.
Sorry. Like, remembers, like, the end of the 90s.
That's it. Yeah. I need a nice 1993 varietal, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Something foreign. You know, a 93, a foreign 93. That's it. Yeah, not a legs. California grown.
Got what? Good legs.
Yeah, nice legs on her, nice tannins or whatever. I don't know. Something picked. Right? I don't know. I don't know anything enough about wine to tag this.
I feel like if you're messaging hoes, you just need to have fun.
Yo, I'm dead ass. Just, I'm gonna tell all y'all how I do it. This is exactly what I do, and this is incredible. I'm gonna give this shit away. I know this sounds stupid. I just put like three or four of those like waving hand emojis in a row. I just put it out there because the initial thing is so arbitrary. If you're not willing to message me back on that, all that is hi. If you're not willing to message me back on that, if you're judging me...
You put it out there like it's some incredible shit.
No, I'm saying it's not incredible. I'm saying it's like so basic because my logic is if you're not willing to message me back, if like your entire willingness to message me back is based on my opening line, you don't like me enough anyway to talk. So my feeling is I'm just gonna go hi. And if you could say hi back, then let's start. And I'm telling you, this has worked way better than me trying to find some clever thing about their profile or whatever, like that, and comment on that. Now, if they have something real specific about their profile, comment on that. But I'm just saying you, it weeds out the bullshit. I don't even want to start a convo with a girl that don't want to mess with me in the first place. Simple as that.
Girls like funny.
Yo, you get your ass eaten.
Yeah.
That's what you should open with. That's what you should open with.
Yo, you lick taint? That should be your opening line. Yo, you into taint? I'm just saying, it's just gonna happen when it goes.
Yo,
all right.
The funnest thing, you actually, we've talked about this on an episode of Brilliant Idiots a while ago, I think.
Right.
You said some shit one time. Before I met my girl, I struck out with this girl who was actually definitively whacker. But
which girl? That thick ass Indian girl. Remember that thick one?
Oh,
that thick monster.
This is one of the cooler moments I've had. Is there was a girl. We didn't do anything, but Andrew was just like, "Yo, go talk to this girl." And then I just flagged her down on the street, and then we just went and had dinner.
This girl, she was thick. She must have been from Guyana.
I literally didn't do anything. We ate dinner, and then I went back to meet you guys at the diner. I was like, well, I did it. Let's go. I just want to prove I could.
Right now.
I want to prove I could. No, yo, swear to God, we didn't do anything. We didn't
thick.
Nothing.
Bro. Thick. Bro, like, I remember seeing her walking, bro. I was like, there's no way she's Indian. She was.
That was all I said. I said, excuse me, miss, are you Indian? She said, yeah.
Bro.
And then I said something corny.
She had the whole thing. The chicken, the tikka masala, the tandoori oven. She had the whole thing, bro. The samosa, the mango lassi.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? The jasmine rice.
Oh, shit.
She had the whole thing. The coconut ice cream.
Oh, man, he's still going.
Bro.
It's called kofi.
She had the kofi. She had the Rogan Josh. You know what I mean? She had the lamb.
Yeah.
She had the whole thing, Akash.
Oh, man.
She did.
You know what I remember?
She had the cricket. She had the cricket stick. She had the blind kid singing for money. She had the answer to the millionaire question.
Oh, my God.
She had the whole...
Do you know what I mean? She had that whole cashmere. What is that? Cashmere?
Oh, man, I don't know, dog.
It's, cashmere?
It's over, bro. It's over.
No, no, it's cashmere. Over. What is it? Cashmere? Is cashmere a place?
Yeah, Kashmir, yeah.
Kashmir. Yeah. She was like, Kashmir is part of India.
Nah, she didn't know much.
She didn't know much? Nah, I'm just saying she was thick. Whatever.
Literally the best part of the whole thing was when I went back to the diner and I got a standing ovation from you guys.
Bro, it was incredible. You went, bag shorty, was thick as fuck. She was. You know what I mean? Like, if I would describe her as a samosa. You know, if I would, I'd be like, she veggie and meat. She not just one, she got both.
Yeah,
that's how thick this samosa was, bro. She had the pan, she had the fucking puri bread, she had the puri.
Oh, God.
She had the, what's the other bread?
Famine.
She had the naan. Oh yeah, I said pan. She had the naan.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? She had the puri bread. She had that shitty ass little tortilla chip looking bread that they give you for free in the beginning with those three dipping sauces that are trash.
Oh man.
All right, let me pull a Kaz. <It's a sports
laughs> All right, let's get it going for real. Let's talk about this. Let's talk about this Cavs IT Kevin Love drama. What's your take?
Listen, you know I've never liked Kevin Love. I've always thought he was kind of trash. I remember watching the finals last year, and he couldn't post up. He couldn't move Klay Thompson in the post.
Right.
Like, he's trying to score, and Klay just staying in his ground.
Right.
And I never liked Kevin Love, but this is ridiculous.
Okay.
This is fucking ridiculous. And it's only happening because he's white.
Interesting.
I don't know how many people are saying that.
Yep.
We got to this kind of late, but that's, to me, clearly the only reason it's happening.
Okay.
Derrick Rose just fucking leaves. And it's like, I don't know if I'm ever going to come back. And they're like, whenever he wants to come back, cool. My man has the flu. The flu is killing people at a record pace. He's got the flu, leaves, and everybody's like, look, man, I just question your heart. Get the fuck out of here.
Dwayne Wade left because he had family issues. Nobody cares.
Nobody gave a fuck.
Dwayne Wade was struggling in the starting lineup, couldn't score. Sits down. He goes,
fam,
I'll go
IT
to the
ain't
bench.
Playing well. Nobody on that team is playing well.
Hit a fucking shot to save his life.
LeBron isn't committing to shit. And you know, I love LeBron,
but
Kevin Love has been the most professional this whole fucking time.
Averaging,
Jay Crowder playing like ass.
Mm-hmm. He's averaging 19 and 9, or 19 or 18 and a half and 10 or something like that. He's
this
averaging
is the closest
double.
He's been to being a player I like.
Yeah, he's an all-star. He's an all-star.
On LeBron's team.
Yeah. So I agree with you. I think there's aspects of race in everything, right? I think what this comes down to, this is my guesstimate, you tell me what you think about it.
Right.
So basically, I think what's happened is this. So IT and Jay Crowder come over, right? They're playing. Jay Crowder's playing like shit. He realized that he played much better in the Celtics system, can't hit shots. IT's coming back. He's not playing as well. And the team is starting to suck, and they're looking for places to lay blame, right? They hear Shumpert or one of the other guys on the Cavs make a dig at Kevin Love. Now, Shumpert or another guy on the Cavs, like Channing Frye, can make a criticism of Love.
Right.
Because they've been there together for three seasons.
Right.
They won a championship together.
Right.
They went to three straight finals together. They have enough equity established where Kevin listens to them and goes, yeah, you're right. Thomas and Jay Crowder hop on board with that comment, and they start criticizing K-Love.
Right.
Now, K-Love... Again, this is me speculating. K-Love looks at them and goes, hold on. Aren't y'all the guys that we bust the asses of every single year in the Eastern Conference Finals? Aren't y'all the losers that can't get out of the Eastern Conference? Aren't y'all the bums? Aren't you, IT, the guy who gets tossed around from team to team every single year and only cares about putting up buckets? I'm Kevin Love, the guy who gave up having my own team, gave up being the number one guy, gave up being the guy who's just going to pad the stats and look great so that I could actually win. I have no ego. I came here to be the third option. I came here to be whatever they need. I'm the guy that gets thrown around. I'm the guy who's subject of trade rumors every single year, and I put up with it. And you guys are going to come to this team after all we've accomplished, and y'all haven't accomplished shit. You don't have a ring. None of you are even all-stars, and you're going to criticize me. And the fucked up thing that happened is LeBron didn't say anything. LeBron should have came in and squashed it and had Kev Love's back. LeBron should have said, yo, you guys aren't in a position just yet to talk about K-Love like that. That's my guy.
You're completely speculating on what's happening, right?
This is complete speculation. Okay. Maybe I have heard a little bit from some people, but not tons. And I think that's what happened is the locker room gets fractured after that because there's K-Love, who realistically is some suburban white kid from fucking Portland or some shit like that, you know, and or like Seattle. I don't know, one of those things, wherever Kaz is going.
Yeah.
And he doesn't probably relate to a lot of these guys. He really doesn't. And he unfortunately probably hasn't made the effort to connect with these guys.
Right.
You know, which is on his part as well. He should do that. If this is part of a locker room, you're building a team, assimilate.
They played AAU ball, him and Isaiah Thomas, when they were kids. They have some kind of bond. I just think it's easy to blame the white guy when you're losing.
Sure.
And I don't like Kevin Love. Right. If you ask me who I like better as a player, it's Isaiah Thomas.
Dude, Isaiah Thomas is my favorite player to watch in the NBA. He's my favorite player to watch. I didn't say he's the best.
Right, right. No,
but
I get it.
Watching him is so exhilarating.
It's so fucking fun.
He's so tiny, and he uses his body so well, and he gets in space.
He's the type of player you root for.
Yeah.
And I don't know if he's leading the charge. I don't know. I have no knowledge to go on. I have no inside sources. I'm just going off what I read. Yeah. My interpretation of the story is they have this team meeting, and everybody just kind of yells at Love. He explains himself, and then they kind of calm down. But it's like, who the fuck are y'all looking at?
Yeah.
Your team defense is terrible, and some of that is Kevin Love's fault because he's a horrible defender, but the rest of y'all aren't supposed to be horrible defenders, and you are.
Yeah, and you're playing like trash.
No one is above blame, and to put it on Kevin Love for one half of basketball, when you're the third fucking seed in the Eastern Conference with LeBron, that's just ridiculous.
And when he's an all-star.
And you're the second best player on that team.
He's an all-star.
And you're playing well.
And you're playing well. You're putting up solid numbers.
Only players playing to expectations are LeBron and Kevin Love.
That's it.
Everybody
That's
else
a
is
great
disappointing.
Point. And the fact that they could take it out on him, and the fact that, and I think this could have all been squashed if LeBron just stepped in.
Oh,
tell
yeah.
me if I'm wrong.
Yeah.
And I think that he didn't. And I think that was a lapse of judgment in LeBron. Now, you brought up a great point, and I agree with you. I also think it could have been squashed if LeBron just opts in. LeBron can complain all he wants about this team and everything like that, but let's look at the players that are on this team. They're signed for longer than just this year. They know that LeBron is probably out after this year. Why are they even going to listen to LeBron? Why are they even going to be concerned about LeBron? I know IT. If I'm IT, I'm like, yo, this is my last year. I got to prove I could ball.
Yeah.
I got to get a contract.
Ton of money.
Because I'm literally, if he sucks this year, his contract next year will be worth half of what he could have got.
Max
half. Yeah. So he's like, you questioning my shot selection? He can't be honest, but he's like, motherfucker, I got to get buckets.
Yeah.
I'm not about to give away $100 million.
And if LeBron would opt in, they'd sign me to a deal.
Bang. So it's like there are a lot of insecurities going on in this team. There's a lot of there's a fight for power. There's a fight for longevity. And if LeBron really wanted to shut it down, he could do it. But I think that this is coming down to, and Kev is probably signed.
Kev is signed beyond this year.
So Kev's probably signed beyond this. So his thinking is like, yo, his thing is like, LeBron, you out after this year anyway. You're gonna leave me with these motherfuckers who hate me. I don't care if you trade me. I don't want to play with these guys next year anyway if they don't get it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, there's a lot of people who basically aren't incentivized to come together and gel as a team.
Yeah, and I don't know what it's going to take for LeBron to opt in. If
I know,
he leaves...
I know. A thick-ass Indian. A thick-ass Indian. What was that girl's name?
I sincerely do not remember.
Sure.
Lies. Sincerely. Lies. Dog, it was like 7 years ago.
Hey, yo, you lying right now. You really lying right now, son.
I swear to God.
How'd you
remember.
Know exactly how many years?
I know, right?
I said like.
It was like 7 years, 3 days, and 48 hours ago since we went to dinner for the first time. No, I'm just playing. Okay. But it is, all right, it is a little bit weird situation.
What do the Cavs do?
I think it's done. I think they have another gear. Right? Just like I think Golden State has another gear. I think that Golden State and the Rockets are competitive in the regular season. I don't think the Rockets have another gear, but I think Golden State does. When Golden State starts playing playoff basketball.
I like that the Rockets are going at them, though.
Oh, I love Capella's
it. Like, we're better than them.
I love it. I love the confidence, and they'll need that confidence to take two games off of them.
Yeah.
But I don't see them beating them because I think Golden State can lock down a little bit more in D, barring an injury. But they're just not taking it as serious. I mean, and we'll get to it, but like Steph, whenever he wants, can put up 40.
Yeah.
And that's what we're starting to realize. It's not a fluke. If he wants to, if he chooses to push his body, then he can do it. Can he do that every night? No, he'll break down.
Yeah.
He will. But can he put up 49 against Kyrie and the Celtics, who are a good defending team. Yeah.
So if you're the Cavs, you just let this rock knowing you're not going to win, and then if you don't win, LeBron might leave?
I think that LeBron is out no matter what. So if I'm the Cavs, I'm doing whatever I can to keep the pieces that I care about happy. I'm auditioning IT. And if IT don't give me what I saw with the Celtics, I'm going to let him go.
If that's the plan, then just trade everybody and get draft picks and rebuild.
LeBron not going to allow that. Because LeBron is still holding this carrot in front of them like, I might sign next year. You ain't signing next year because you could solve all the problems. This is proof that he's not signing next year because you could solve all the problems by signing, right? If you're locked in to next year, all these guys gotta fall in line. Because if they don't fall in line, what happens? You're traded. But there's no leverage for them to be traded right now. LeBron can't get the organization to do the same shit because the organization isn't going to blow up the team out of concern that LeBron leaves.
I don't want him to leave. If he leaves and he goes to the Spurs, I'd be thrilled just to see
that. I love that Max Kellerman stole your take on that. I don't know. We were getting mad tweets from all the assholes. Throw your assholes up.
What's up?
But mad tweets from all the assholes. Matter of fact, if you ever see one of these other sports shows copy our hot takes, which of course they do it every week, throw assholes in the comments. Throw that A-OK asshole sign comments.
All right?
Just that's a way of repping the home team. But I just feel like this is easily solved, but LeBron is proving to us he's not going to go. Is he going to L.A.? I don't think he's going to L.A. Another thing I just want to comment real quick. The Lakers are having way too much fun for how much they suck. How are people in L.A. not annoyed by this? Every video is like, hey, I'm Kyle Kuzma.
Because that's L.A. L.A.'s a bunch of motherfuckers who've accomplished nothing, having the best time of their lives.
Absolutely.
That's the whole thing.
Yeah, exactly. Let's have a meeting. You want a lunch meeting? How many lunch meetings are we going to have?
Me.
Does anybody work? Why is everybody outside?
Pull up in a car you can't afford. Get the fuck out of my face. Whole city.
So every video I'm seeing it reposted is Kyle Kuzma teasing Lonzo's wardrobe, right? It's like, look what Lonzo's wearing. Look how silly this thing is that Lonzo's wearing.
Right.
Look at how many, what is your record? What is your record? Just do Instagram videos of your record if you want a real fucking joke, if you want something really funny. You're losing ass record. You guys have way too much talent on that team.
Lonzo's shooting percentage. Hilarious.
Yeah, just point at that. Point at his three-point shooting percentage. That'd be a really funny video to do. And this kid Kyle Kuzma is good. All I'm saying is you're far too happy. If you're this happy when you're losing, what incentive do you have to win? You know what I'm saying? Like,
bruh, I don't know.
Motherfuckers that are the Timberwolves, they're trying to win. Because life is tough up in Minnesota in the winter. The only joy you have are victories.
Jimmy Butler don't fuck around either.
Jimmy is a grown-ass man. That's a full man right there.
Yeah, bro.
That is a full man. I got the most respect for Jimmy.
Right.
Real talk. Gets everything in line. But think about it. When you live in a harsh-ass fucking climate, like those dudes out there, ain't no fucking going to the club. Ain't no fucking joy just eating some pancakes outside with your boys. Ain't no joy in life. The joy in life is winning and then waiting for those 2 months of summer. That's what they have out there.
Am I the only one, though? And listen, I bashed the Kevin Love trade when they gave up Wiggins. Shouldn't Wiggins be better?
Shouldn't Wiggins be better?
Yeah.
He got, and I say this with love to my Canadians, he got too much Canadian in him. It takes a little while to get that out of them. It's this, there's a friendliness, a camaraderie, like a love, and like a let's be nice. And I've played basketball up in Canada. There's not enough fight. Like, they call fouls for you. Oh, I got you on that play. I got you on that play. Don't worry about it. And it's beautiful for a place to live, but in competitive sports, it doesn't help you. You need anger. You need anger problems.
You need a little chip on your shoulder.
You need chip on your shoulder. A good old-fashioned American chip on your shoulder.
I think that might be what Kevin Love is lacking to bring it all back around.
He needs a little chip.
He needs a little chip on his shoulder.
When he threw his fucking warm-up jersey at Jeff Green's face before he went in the game, did you see that shit?
No.
You haven't seen his clip?
No.
Bro, it's so funny. He literally takes it off, and Jeff Green's sitting on the chair, and he drapes it over him like he's like he's an ottoman. He just threw it, and then Jeff Green's like, what are you doing?
That's so funny.
And then the Euro on the team was about to stop him and be like, hey, wait, and then he just didn't. They're fractured. IT's not even walking into the starting lineup. Did you see that? That's his protest. Motherfuckers protesting each other. It makes no goddamn sense.
I've heard IT is not well liked. I remember hearing that before he came.
Yeah, nobody's liked. No team he's been on, he's been liked. That's why he goes everywhere.
Yeah.
Nobody liked him. Nobody likes playing with him. It is what it is.
You know, Rajon Rondo in him.
It might be, but here's the difference. Rajon won. And Rajon, let me bring up a great point for, I'm going to compliment myself. Here's a great point about Rajon Rondo is, and what's so interesting about Kevin Love, it's, remember when Rajon Rondo criticized IT getting a celebration at the Garden?
Yeah.
At the Boston Garden?
Yeah, yeah.
He was like, what are we celebrating here? We win championships. What are we going to celebrate him? We're going to the Eastern Conference Finals?
Yeah.
Right? He criticized him and everybody was like, yeah, that makes perfect sense. Kevin Love criticized IT.
Mm.
And all of a sudden, it's like, oh, this Love guy's an asshole. This Love guy. What's up with this Love guy? Well, maybe we got to trade Love, et cetera. It's the same thing. Why should you say anything, Jay Crowder or IT? Y'all opinions don't matter. Y'all lose. We've won. We've gone to three straight finals.
Here's the difference, and I'm not saying this is right, and because I do the same thing. LeBron's power forwards always have to play a certain way, it seems like. Chris Bosh, Kevin Love. And it doesn't suit their talent well, so they just become a punching bag. I did it to Chris Bosh. I do it to Kevin Love. Like, you just overlook what Kevin Love did because it's like you're not playing that great. But kind of, and Chris Bosh talked about this, Kevin Love is going to have to make adjustments when he starts playing with LeBron. And that's the adjustment, is you're just kind of, you're damn near extraneous.
Wow.
Like, you just sit out there, shoot your threes.
Because LeBron needs room to cook.
And Chris
and
Bosh.
And you can't be on the block getting in the way.
Chris Bosh in particular was a punching bag when he shouldn't have been. I remember you and I talked about this when they beat the Spurs in 7.
Yeah.
He had a big defensive stop in game 6.
Yeah.
And then he's the one that tipped the rebound to Ray Allen on like that won the game. And we never talk about that.
Of course not.
He always had big plays. Kevin Love, to his credit, game 7 against the Warriors.
Stopped Steph.
Game tying 3. And we cannot give him credit if we want to, but that's a game tying 3 from the greatest 3-point shooter in history. Yeah.
I really think that's why Kyrie left.
Because what?
Because we talked more about LeBron's block than Kyrie's step back 3 and Steph Curry's to win
true.
The game.
That's true.
The block.
Okay, have you rewatched?
How did you block?
I rewatched the block. Not on replay. Now I'm going to slow down. I remember my brother had it recorded on DVR, and I was like, let me just rewatch the game.
You
forget when it's coming, and it comes out of nowhere. It's the fucking craziest
block.
It was
like you talking to that thick-ass Indian. You know what I mean? She was just on her fast break to dinner, and you were like, nah, bitch! We going to dinner tonight!
Oh, fuck.
That's what it felt like, and we were all rooting for you, and once you did it was crazy.
I got the standing ovation.
Got the standing ovation,
I remember
right?
that.
And then some other dude hit the 3.
Yeah, I'm fine with that.
Yeah, you know, that's right, because you wifed up right now.
Bruh.
It is what it is. Beautiful thing.
Yeah, thank you.
That's beautiful.
That's goddamn time.
I support that shit. I always have supported your homosexuality. What are you talking about? I've been the most supportive of this. Oh, you're fuck. Crazy.
Oh, fuck.
Okay.
God, that was good.
Shall we move on?
Yes.
All right. Can we talk about two things? One, Andre Roberson. This is really quick. Anybody who saw it happen, his leg just exploded. It was the freakiest thing I've ever seen. Oh, you got him looking like he's sliding into second. This dude went up for, to catch an alley-oop from Westbrook.
Right.
Roberson is the guy who can't shoot that's on the Thunder. He's a great kind of tall, lanky defender, but he literally could be the worst shooter in the history of basketball.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
It's shockingly bad. You can't even fathom it. And now he's going to have plenty of time
to
work
on it. It's like if Ben Wallace played 2 guard.
Yeah. Yeah, great call. And I even think Ben was better at percentage-wise at shooting than Andre. Anyway, point is, he went up to dunk the ball, catch an alley-oop, and his leg just exploded in midair. Like, he went to push off for it, and then just every joint in his knee just collapsed or something like that. He ends up just falling. It's a freakish thing. Go check out the video if you have a chance. But so not only does his leg explode on non-contact, Boogie Cousins, Achilles, done on non-contact. And it brings up the question, right?
Mm-hmm.
Are there too many games? Because notice this is happening right before All-Star break.
Oh, shit. Good point.
And there's
good
a reason point. Why there's All-Star break.
Good
These
point.
Guys put their body through a lot, and the human body can only take so much, and eventually it starts to break down. And I'd be interested to look back in history and find when injuries occur. I guarantee you it's either at the end of the first half or the end of the second
That's
half.
That's a really interesting point. If there's any assholes out there who want to do some research,
look at that, yeah.
Holler
and
at us.
Non-contact injuries. I'm not talking about you sprain your ankle or something like that. Look up the non-contact injuries. And it's one of those things that we have to talk about. When you see a guy like Steph Curry, you're like, why doesn't he drop 50 every night? I think Steph is smart enough to know that pushing his body that hard has a cost. And if you look at Boogie Cousins, the game before this game where he busted his ankle, what was his stat line? 40 points, 24,
10, something like that.
11 assists.
Yeah.
He pushed his body really far, and the next game, he tears his Achilles on a jump.
Mm.
It's something to consider with these players.
It's a really fucking good point. That's a really interesting point.
How far can you push that shit?
Yeah. Well, here's the problem is owners are never going to give up games because that's money.
That's money.
And they're never going to give up money.
So what do we extend the season? Do we what is...
I would love to extend the season. One game every 3 days is fine with me. Just give me something to do when there's no... When it's summer and it's only baseball?
Yeah. Oh, my God.
The ideal basketball season to me starts at Christmas and ends in August.
It should go the entire time there's no football.
Yes.
I agree with you. That's bring us all the way through summer.
So if they want to keep 82 and extend the season, start in October, but then you have no offseason. But I would prefer 65 games, start in December, end in August.
Mm.
Like, August is the finals.
And when does football start up?
September.
So now we're good.
We're good.
Okay, what about this option? Two breaks.
I'm into that.
The second one, or the first one can be All-Star, or the second one can be All-Star break. Let's do that, because then we have more of an idea of who the All-Star is. And then the first one, just another little, you know, week five off days, or week. Whatever, 5 days. Because you can recover a lot in those 5 days.
Yeah. No back-to-backs. No one likes back-to-backs.
What I'm saying is that ultimately it's what we want. When I see the Pelicans play, I want Boogie there.
Yes.
So if our best athletes are getting injured, it's bad for the sport. You want to do whatever you can to make sure your athletes are out there, one, and make sure they're competing. Because if you got guys, like I think what's happening with Porzingis now is he's just tired.
Oh, yeah.
He's just fucking tired.
Man is exhausted.
He's exhausted, and he's probably not putting the same effort in because he knows his body is, you know, broken. He knows he might be delicate. So what's happening is he's not giving the same effort, and it's not as fun for us.
Nope.
We would rather watch peak performance.
The problem is we're still going to show up, and there's always going to be another good player.
Fair.
At least right now. I mean, maybe mid-90s or like after Jordan, you're talking.
Right.
Right now, there's just a ton of talent coming in. It's crazy. It's crazy. I also don't know what that is.
What?
Is it just people playing less football? Why is NBA all of a sudden just talent on talent on talent?
Do you think there's more talent in the NBA than there has ever been?
I think in my lifetime, yeah. Think about this draft. Freaks coming out.
What about the idea that it's a global game?
Global game,
we have another like
sure.
20% of Euros.
Sure, but the only top seven draft pick or whatever I hear about is Luka Doncic, and everybody else is American.
Hmm.
Maybe we're playing a different style of basketball now, and that's really helping, and like that's what we're teaching at a younger... I think Steph might have had something to do with it, because now people are shooters.
Changed the game.
He really did for the better.
I can point at certain people who I know have changed the game of basketball.
Iverson.
Iverson was one.
Jordan.
Jason Williams.
Interesting.
Williams, within my generation, and every generation has had one, Magic Johnson was theirs,
right.
Made passing cool.
Right.
Jason Williams made you want to do behind the backs.
Right.
Made you want to do these kind of things that were flashy. He also kind of popularized the pull-up three from far.
Oh, yeah.
But little things that happen in a game that make you want to change your game when you play. And Steph has done this. These kids, when you watch these kids play, they are hoisting.
Yeah.
Hoisting. I think even Charles Barkley mentioned this shit. How it might not be good to the game because he just goes and he sees
Mark Jackson said that.
Or Mark Jackson. Maybe it was Mark Jackson.
I think it's actually good for the game, though.
Okay, why?
Because I think people are shooting and we're just fundamental as fuck. There's nothing flashy about Steph except the shots. Everything else is just fundamental. Take good shots. What Allen Iverson was ISO,
right.
Ball handle, kind of hog the ball, whatever.
Yeah.
Steph doesn't, I mean, some people might take horrible shots, but Steph doesn't take
Well, no shot is horrible for him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. If you get that good at shooting, cool. And that's what kids are doing. They're trying to get that good at shooting. I don't think there's Trae Young without Steph. I don't know if there's Buddy Hield without Steph.
Right.
Not that he's a game changer, but like those types of players are coming in now.
Alex?
So I say it's bad only, and I'm biased because I'm in Urban League, and we played against his team. They had one sharpshooter that was pulling back. He would cross half court and just pull. We couldn't guard the team. Like, it was impossible to guard the team. After the game, the ref was like, damn, I should have sent somebody to take him out.
Why is that bad for the league, though? Because in the NBA, you're not taking out the dude.
But I mean, in terms of the gameplay, like, how do you guard?
That's exciting as fuck, seeing a guy. That's why everybody loves Steph, except me.
No, I mean, it is exciting. I hear what you're saying. I think, the one question is this. And this is something I've noticed as a trend in basketball, and it's probably already always been there, but I've seen it happen more, is people in a way, cheating the game. The bring the pass through and pull up. Sorry, not the pass. Bring the ball through and pull up and get fouled. You know, Harden. You see Chris Paul do it a lot. Harden does it a lot, yeah. Et cetera. And yeah. they've taken that call away.
Right.
But they haven't. It's still a foul. It's just not a yeah. shooting foul. Right. But if your team's over the limit, it's yeah. a shooting foul.
Right, right, right.
Right?
Yeah.
So it still can be a shooting foul. These little tricks, another thing I've noticed is when you're coming around screens,
yeah,
you know that someone's trying to beat you around the screen, there'll be contact. So what they do is immediately coming around the screen, they pop up for a shot, and the guy's body is right on you, foul.
Right.
So there's these little almost cheats. They're not the way the basketball game was intended on being played. Right. They're manipulations of the game, right? Right. And I think it's clever. I think it's really smart. You need to have a lot of offensive savvy to find these ways to score, but it's not the game. The game is what Iverson would do. You know, the game is crossing the fuck out of somebody, going to the basket, despite being 5'10 and finishing on a big. That's the game. And I'm concerned that the three-point shot becomes too easy to hit. And we're giving it too much credit for what it is. For example, you get 1.5 times the amount of points for this yeah. three-point shot.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
That's a possession and a half.
Yeah.
Is it that much harder than a 20-foot shot? Is it 1.5 times more difficult? See what I'm saying?
No, I know what you're saying.
Are we rewarding it too much?
Well, here's what I would say. I would say if you rewatch a game from the 90s, yeah. I like iso ball. That's part of why I don't really like Golden State. It's right. too cute to me.
Yeah, yeah.
But if you rewatch a game from the 90s and then you watch the Warriors play now, or I remember when the Spurs beat the Heat, the second championship, that was the first time we'd really seen that system kind of win. And I was like, yo, this is beautiful. Like, this is just fun and yeah. light, and people yeah. are like, it's just good basketball.
Yeah.
It might sound corny or whatever, but like, I remember liking iso ball, but then when you watch it, you're like, this is just clunky.
Yeah.
She's mad clunky.
Yeah, no. It is, I don't know. Whatever, fuck it.
Let me ask you this, though. Yeah. What do you do if you're the Pelicans? Because Boogie, that's a 2-year injury, Achilles.
Is it?
I mean, he'll come back next year, but he won't be the same.
Right. It would take 2 years before he's at his peak.
Yeah.
Look, he's going to get top dollar from no matter what. And the reason I'm not worried about Boogie is because his game is not athletic at all. The guy's vertical leap is like 6 inches. I've never seen him get off the ground. He is incredibly imposing physically, but he's not one of those guys where I'm like, I don't know if he'll be the same after this injury. There are certain guys that can tear their ACL. Zach Randolph could tear his ACL. Zach Randolph doesn't need ACLs.
Achilles a little different.
Sorry, his Achilles.
All right.
Zach Randolph doesn't need that. His game is so savvy right. and, you know, veteran. As long as Boogie is 7'2" and all 300 pounds or whatever right, the fuck right. he is,
yeah.
he's going to be fine. He's not overly fast. He's got incredible touch, incredible finishing ability. I think, and he can shoot the long ball. But he's not a speed demon, you know? He's yeah. not one of those guys. So I don't think he'll be as affected as, you know, certain guys who rely on their athleticism.
Okay. I just wonder, if you're the Pelicans, is AD going to stay? You gave Drew Holiday way too much money.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, it's weird. I think the Pelicans, again, now we're getting into, like, the nuance of these players. I don't know if you build your team in today's NBA around two bigs. 90s, yeah. You could do the David Robinson, Tim Duncan thing.
Oh, yeah.
Now you just need three-point shooters. It's not economically worth it. You know,
Isaiah Thomas had an interesting theory. He talked about how he thinks the days...
If you touch women inappropriately, you'll get fired?
Well, you might not get fired. Your boss is going to fight for you for a bit. I saw this dude walking down the street, by the way.
Yo, he's the original Me Too.
That man, my man.
And beat it.
Yo,
real talk.
My man beat three out this bitch.
He did?
He YouTube.
Shit.
That's on you.
All right, go. We're talking about Isaiah Thomas, who played for the Pistons.
So I'm in real life. Incredible skin, this guy. It's unbelievable. Better than OJ.
Smile.
Better
great
than OJ,
smile.
For sure.
Yeah, yeah.
Better skin than OJ is not even a question.
Yeah.
But he was talking about how he thinks the days of kind of like small ball and all that are coming to an end as soon as these big players learn to control the game the way these little three-point shooting guards can.
Okay.
And he said the way Anthony Davis is playing recently, you can see him starting to realize, oh, I can control the entire game. Just I'm this long, I can be this much of a force inside, I can be this much of a force on defense, I can be this much of a force through passing. And as they kind of learn that and learn to control the game in that way, and I might be bastardizing what he's saying, but essentially it was, once these big freaks learn to control the game, small ball's not going to have his
okay.
Embiid was doing that yesterday.
Embiid yeah. yeah. So, but it takes these big guys needing to be able to shoot threes.
Yeah. Which Davis can shoot. Boogie can shoot.
That's what I'm saying. If you have a big, but the small ball that we're used to are guys like Shaq that would just pound the paint. And that's just not going to exist anymore, which is fair. Any all-star predictions we want to do with it? I kind of want to talk football, but anything else?
I thought LeBron's team looked better, whatever.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. Do you like this new format at all?
I kind of do because the old one was horrible. We don't want to talk about this. There's been a lot of shitty all-star games in a row.
Yeah.
One or two. You get one good dunk contest every 3 or 4 years.
That shit was flames 2 years ago, though.
Bruh.
Wait, was it last year?
Aaron Gordon.
I was there for a live. 2 years ago. That shit was unbelievable.
Yeah. Unreal.
Okay. Okay. But yeah, how do you save the All-Star game? How do you make it interesting? What is
I don't know. I think you might just got to give him a big ass cash prize, make it something worth playing
now
for.
Now they're doing $100K
each?
Yeah.
Well, that's all right.
What if you made it for charity? Now they'd be guilted into playing well.
That's a good idea.
You're not going to play D when motherfuckers are dying
that's
of hunger.
That's a good idea. And the you know slam what I mean? Dunk contest winner.
You're not going to play D when
slam
motherfuckers.
Slam dunk contest winner should get $1 million.
I mean, they could probably afford it.
LeBron is getting in for $1 million. It's one guy is getting $1 million.
What is it now?
You're giving away 1.7 or whatever for the All-Star, whoever wins, 100,000
each. And dunk is probably more watched.
It might be. I mean, those are supposed to be the two most exciting nights.
Hmm. Yeah, they got to just raise the stakes. If the stakes are raised higher,
everybody gets in.
Because home court advantage, is that good? The winner gets home court advantage, right?
No, that's what? How you do that here?
The winner gets home court advantage in the finals.
I thought that was baseball. Are they borrowing that from baseball?
Yeah. That's not how it works here?
I don't think so.
So how do you find out who gets home court advantage?
The team with the better record.
But that's not fair because you're not playing in the same division.
That's how
it's
been.
You're not playing the same amount of teams. That shouldn't be fair.
That's how it's been.
I think that they should do this. I think this is a way more fair way of looking at it. You take the town from the east, plays the town of the west, and the team that wins.
This isn't all east-west.
Yeah, I don't like this. I don't like this mix-it-up shit. Because it plays into one of the problems I have with the NBA right now. Everybody's friends. They've been friends since 9 years old when they went to AAU. They've been hanging out at each other's house, eating pancakes together and shit like that. And then they get in the league, and they don't want to fight. You know, they don't want to scream at each other. They don't want to bark. They don't want to argue. They got all these
fake
fights.
That's what makes Russell Westbrook so just dope.
Because nobody invited him for pancakes.
Yo, my man never had pancakes.
Never had pancakes.
He's been on Atkins his whole life. Yo, not by choice.
Talk. Yeah. Just by lack of invitation.
Right.
He really don't care.
He don't got no friends. He don't give a fuck about friends. It's him and his wife just fucking booling. Just,
that's it.
We out here.
Yeah, he got four people he cares about.
Yeah. Bruh. Brody doing it.
No, he's doing it. Even though he got his shit yammed on yesterday by Joel Embiid. Did you see this dunk?
I didn't see. I saw he had a yam of his own.
No, Joel Embiid supermaned on him. And he tried to take the charge and the ref ain't call it. And son, oh my God, it was frightening. Dude, and Embiid stared at his ass afterwards. Like just
Embiid is great.
Yeah, he is great. He's great for the game. Okay. Football. Go. Patriots, Eagles, what?
I hate to say this. I think the Eagles have a real chance. Yeah. I'm not feeling bold enough to pick them, but they got a real chance.
Why are we doing this in the cold?
It's a dome.
It doesn't matter. Like, you got to walk around that weekend.
Fam, you live in New York.
Yeah, don't do it here.
Okay. All right, fair enough.
Like, America is this amazing country for many reasons, but one, because we have all climates. There are very few places in the world where you can live in the cold and in the hot, no matter what season it is, right? We can take it. Like Canada, if you live in Canada, you got to be cold 8 months out of the year. Yeah. It's not a choice.
Yeah,
it's not a choice. You have to. You know what I mean? If I was Canada, I would buy one of those Caribbean islands or something like that and just start developing a nice little place where you owned and you could go, right?
All their money's tied up in healthcare, dog.
That's right. Fuck that healthcare for 10 years. Buy Haiti.
Oh, okay.
Buy Puerto
Haiti
Rico.
Would be into that.
Buy some shit, right? Real talk. We would give you Puerto Rico.
Puerto Rico cheap right now.
Puerto Rico's cheap right now.
Puerto Rico property value.
Bro,
and
if
shit.
You have a solar panel, you could buy Puerto Rico. How you live on an island where all it is sun and there's no electricity?
Oh, fuck.
Son, just buy some solar panel. I don't know. That's what I would do. But my point is, you have a place. America, we should only do these types of games in warm places. Make it a vacation destination. Ain't no spring break Vancouver. Ain't no spring break Nova Scotia. Fans, we're not doing spring break in the cold.
Spring break is still snowing. In Nova Scotia.
That's what I'm saying. We're not doing that. Yeah. So you do spring break in Mexico. You do spring break in Florida. You do spring break in California. Take it to a hot place. Make this a fun environment. Make it like the fact that they're doing All-Star in the NBA this week, next week in California. That's the right place to do it. Do it in California. Do it in New Orleans. Do it in warm places where we could walk around and be some pussy. Think about the fans.
Yeah. Here's the difference. The All-Star the weekend is All-Star weekend. It's like a big tourist weekend. The whole weekend matters. Super Bowl's about the game. The city's cool. That matters, but not the game.
Come on, son. Motherfuckers are there already. Everybody's there already. They're hype. They're taking a few days off. They're spending at least the weekend in Minnesota. You're not flying in day of the game, flying out the night of. I'm talking about hotels and everything's popping. Now everybody's underground. You got everybody underground in Minnesota.
I don't mind a cold weather city getting a Super Bowl. I don't. Because especially Minnesota, these guys give a fuck about football.
Yeah, but the people that go to the Super Bowl ain't the people that are from the town.
Stupid,
it's the fans.
Fucking Vikings. I can't believe they didn't beat the Eagles.
I know.
Fuck.
It's sad. Don't get me wrong. I'm with it. It would have been great to have a home Super Bowl. That's awesome.
Also, the Eagles don't need God. No, just God gives those fans a Super Bowl.
Bro. There are hilarious videos going around right now, and I have to take my hat off to Barstool Sports for capturing videos of Eagles fans just like cursing at women and
Doug. There's one lady said she saw a lady wearing a Vikings jersey with a baby, and they're all telling the baby "fuck you."
Yeah, yeah. They're savages.
These are monsters. Eagles fans are not human beings.
Yeah. Listen, there's a reason they moved the capital of the United States of America. It was in Philadelphia, and it was moved because this is the place that we have to. Showcase to
we
the world.
We need goodwill ambassadors.
Yeah, we need goodwill ambassadors.
Take it to DC where we got some crackheads. They would rather have a city full of crackheads representing them.
Real talk.
Than Philly than Eagles Philly fans. Fans.
Yeah, because it's scary. You're holding events in Philadelphia with these maniacs. You're gonna have a UN event in Philadelphia. Fuck free energy. We like coal. Get out of here. It's dangerous.
Dog, they don't deserve a Super Bowl. Be nicer, you'll get a Super Bowl. That's really what I'm hoping God will say.
But are you not rooting for the Eagles?
I'm not rooting for the Eagles at all.
You're rooting for the Patriots.
I'm rooting for the Patriots.
I'm rooting for the
hard.
Eagles.
Tom Brady's the dopest. My girl just sent me a thing. Fuck Jerry. First of all, Tom Brady follows Fuck Jerry, which is already hysterical.
Motherfucker's a savage.
There's a meme of a guy with, he's got his hands up. He's got his girlfriend across from him. Girlfriend, black girl, across her arms. Made this like stank face. And it says, the caption says, "I can feel it." From here. And then Tom Brady says, "If you're explaining, you're losing."
Yo.
Which is weird because he misspelled one "your" and didn't misspell the other. But the point is, this motherfucker is the GOAT, dog. Who else you know followed fucking Fuck Jerry and comment on it?
Yeah. Who else you know?
Tell you how to deal with hoes.
Who else you know refuses to apologize to Giselle?
That's what I'm saying,
bro. That's the realest shit.
That's what I'm saying, bro.
Yeah. Like, there was a time, because you know Brady had another kid.
Yeah.
And you know Giselle was like, "Wait a minute, you got another girl pregnant and we're dating?" And he just sat there like, "If you're explaining, you're losing, bitch." All right? Now you could put those Victoria wings on and fly the fuck away, or you could get on board with the TB12.
Dog, he is.
How do you know TB12 ain't his dick size? Because it very well might be. He might have the cannon.
Bruh.
Yo, Tom Brady might have the cannon.
I bet that shit.
I think he got the cannon.
I bet that shit is huge.
Yo,
fam.
I think he's packing.
Got a picture?
Yo, I think he got those stitches on his dick from trying to grab it. I mean, his stitches on his hand from trying to grab his dick.
Oh, it's too bad you fucked up that delivery. That was
I would have been so good if I didn't fuck up that
really
delivery.
Good, really good.
He was really trying to wrap his whole hand, all his fingers around it. He was stretching real hard to get it, and it just tore.
That's why he can only date models. That's the only bitches big enough hands to get around the dick.
I need some 6-foot chick. Accurately grab my penises.
Gotta be able to palm a basketball.
Dude, real talk. That's why he takes a little bit of the air out of football, so it measures the size of his dick. A regular full-aired football is a little bit too fat for his dick. But you take a couple ounces of air out that shit, woo, that's a Tom Brady 12.
Fuck.
How many inches of football?
I don't know.
Probably 12, ain't it? Yo, I would look up that. I would look up how many Tom Brady inches of football is. This dude, of course, he's the best quarterback in the world. He's been throwing his dick around.
I got a little boogie.
Yeah, you got a little boogie.
Appreciate you.
No doubt.
All I'm saying is now things are starting to make sense.
Tom Brady is the world's foremost alpha male.
Facts. Okay, tell us why.
If the world was coming to an end and we had to listen to one motherfucker on how to save us, everybody follows Tom Brady.
Over Belichick.
Over Belichick.
Wait, what is it?
Football's about 11 inches.
About 11 inches. Yeah. Tom Brady's dick bigger than football, son. Of course he's going to be able to throw that football around here. You know what I'm saying?
Man is not explaining shit to Giselle, dog. She's probably richer than him.
Real talk. She might have more money.
She's widely considered the most beautiful woman on earth. And he's just like, nah, bitch. Nah.
He's saying nah to Giselle.
That's some crazy shit.
Dude, he just whips out that big old TV-12.
Yo.
Hold that shit in his fucking hand.
Bruh, I'll tell you right now, I'd be explaining. I'd be explaining, fam. I'm going to have to explain Andrew's thick-ass Indian comments for days.
To this podcast?
Yeah.
Real talk?
Yeah. She don't even like sports. She still finds it funny.
Really?
Yeah, she's mad supportive like that.
Damn, yo.
I know.
You know who's mad supportive?
Oh, here we go.
That thick chick's jeans when she was holding on all that ass. That's what was mad supportive. Those fucking jeans for that thick ass Indian booty that she had. Holy shit. Gosh.
My man said gosh.
Gosh. Oh, fucker. Akash came back. He was like, damn. Bitch was smuggling mangoes.
Oh, bro.
Yo, I'm just joking. Akash's girl. That's not true. That girl, she wasn't even thick.
She was thick.
Nah. I was waiting for the comment.
Nah, she wasn't even, that girl wasn't even that thick. She was ugly. We were like, yo, go talk to that ugly girl.
I mean, listen.
You know what I mean?
Point is, I'd be explaining.
Yeah.
That's the point.
How are you going to explain this to your girl?
I mean, it was mad long ago.
Yeah, but still, you're supposed to be faithful before you ever even meet your girl.
You're right about that.
You know how women are.
You're right about that.
You know?
If I knew.
Yeah.
My girl's indisputably better than that girl.
Yes, of course.
So that girl, if I had known.
That other girl was ugly as fuck. Now, Akash is about to defend her. She was thick. She was thick,
bro. I was about to say, actually, her face was, I wasn't into it.
Really?
You kept saying how thick she was. I need to go holler. And this is at the time when I'm not fucking anybody.
Yeah.
And everybody is just like, well, you just don't fuck. You're just not going to. And I was like, no. And I think you guys, I just needed to prove that I could if I wanted to.
Oh, you had to prove that you were a virgin by choice.
Right. Exactly.
That's right.
And I'm not just some bitch ass over here. Can't get no girl ever, no matter what. That's really how I felt. I was like, I just got to do this for me. I got to prove
for
something.
For the homies,
here.
You got to prove it.
I got to prove it.
Yeah.
So and I
you
went.
Did.
Got
grab that thickness. Grab that slim thickness, bro.
Oh, it wasn't nothing slim.
It wasn't nothing slim. That shit was thick and taut. That shit was taut.
You said taut.
It was taut.
I don't remember a lot of taut.
That shit was taut. Yo, you never
I
seen
I don't remember a lot of taut.
Hey, nah. Her skin was tight around that thickness, bro. She looked like a Long Island dad. You never seen a Long Island dad?
I don't get it.
He'd be fat, but his skin be tight. You know, he got like a Bud Light shirt with no sleeves, carrying
like
a cooler to
taut.
The beach. Stomach was taut, but that girl, she wasn't fat. She was just taut. Just like Frank. Her skin was taut like Frank. Exactly.
Oh,
I saw you go over that, walk up. I was like, Akash ain't going to talk to that. He can't handle all that. What's he going to do with all that?
You know what? You're right. I couldn't handle all that.
Yeah, that's true.
You ever pick up some fruit and be like, I'm never going to eat this, and then put it back? That's what I did.
You saying you picked up them mangoes?
We had dinner. I picked them up. And then I was like, you know what?
Yo, shout out to Akash for making her pay. I just want to point that out.
Oh, shit.
You split the bill.
We split. I remember I didn't make her pay, but I was like, I'm not paying.
You split the bill, but it was like a $12 bill.
Yeah, it was. We had like Lussies or something.
Yeah, I know you had some Lussies.
We've literally talked about this longer than it lasted.
Whatever. Doesn't matter. Funny.
Okay. Of course. I'm just giving context.
I know. All right, so.
So what's your prediction?
I think Patriots win.
I think you have to pick the Patriots, but.
Do you try to give Gronk a concussion?
Yeah.
Unethical, yes. But I think that's the only way where you have a chance, right?
Well, he had the concussion, and I'm assuming he's going to play, but you don't know.
Of course he's going to play.
But you don't know how, I don't know how that affects you in the game.
Of course he's going to play. Gronk doesn't strike me as a guy with a lot of foresight.
My man acts like he got a concussion all the time.
All the time, yeah. He's just constantly. But I really don't think it's going to affect somebody like him. But my worry is, not my worry, but like strategically speaking, and I don't know how ethical it is, it seems kind of unethical, but like to try to on purpose give another player a concussion?
Oh, I think they do that shit. I mean, yeah, this happened with the...
Really?
Yeah, Greg Williams, the defensive coordinator of the Vikings, when they played the Saints in the championship 8 years ago, whatever, nine years ago, he was saying, like, just go out. He kept saying to about Favre, I think, attack the head, the body will fall, or some shit like that.
Wow.
Like, there's audio of him. That's why he got banned for a year or whatever.
Oh, the Saints.
The coordinator, yeah.
Yeah. But they got banned for that whole shit. Yeah. Okay, so you think that they're going to go after him? It's going
to
be...
I think low-key they're going to go after him. You have to.
Yeah,
that's the brutal part of the game.
There's no chance.
Yeah, that's the vicious part of this game. But yeah, he is the only thing that's like, oh, you can't really account for Gronkowski. But again, I don't know how much a concussion affects you.
Why can nobody guard this guy? You're telling me there's no Gronkowski on the other side of the line?
He's huge, dog.
Yeah, but why isn't there...
He's huge and fast.
Okay, but isn't there a huge, fast guy that plays defense?
Because you tend to put those guys on offense. Like, cornerbacks tend to be receivers who can't catch.
Cornerbacks are receivers,
tend to be receivers who can't catch.
That makes sense. But they're a little smaller than receivers. Receivers 6'5". There's no 6'5 corner. Corners are like 5'10", 5'11", 6'4".
Yeah, you're a little too short to play receiver. You're a little too... You can't really catch.
But you have the athleticism
but
of a receiver.
But you're athletic. You
can stay with
that body type. Here you go. Let's play corner.
Okay.
Who has Gronk's body type that you wouldn't immediately say, yeah, come to the offense and dominate the game?
Yeah. Okay, got you. So what's peculiar about this to me is that we know for a fact that defense wins games. Yet, we continue to take our most athletic players and put them on the offense.
I think, though, the X factor...
What the fuck is the point of that?
I think the X factor is they can catch. I think a lot of people can't really catch. You know what I mean? Like, Gronk can catch.
Yeah, of course,
receivers,
of course.
Odell Beckham, it's fucking crazy.
Yeah.
So, like, you could have... It's almost kind of wasting that skill set to put him on defense.
But if we know that stopping a catch is more valuable than catching itself...
Yeah, it's a good question.
Why wouldn't we take all the talent and put it there?
Good question.
As a matter of fact, if I was a coach, I know this sounds crazy, but if I was a coach and I really need to turn around a horrible team like the Browns, I would say, I want all my athletes on the defensive side of the ball. Let me see if I can get every one of my elite athletes to play defense.
You know, it might make some sense. At the younger levels, you got a guy like Gronk, it's over on offense.
Right.
No one is stopping you.
That's why it is. Elite offense wins until the NFL.
Yeah, when you're all kind of on a level playing field.
Because,
athleticism-wise.
But that's also probably because anybody who's good ends up playing offense.
Yeah.
Nobody goes, oh, this guy's really good. Put him at safety.
Right, yeah.
Right? You just end up there as you get worse and worse at offense.
Yeah.
Everybody starts out at quarterback.
True.
Right? Every good player who's 8 years old is a quarterback. And then eventually you go, oh, he's not that good at throwing. Okay, make him running back.
Yeah.
Oh, he's not that fast. Make him a receiver. Or he's not that... He's tall.
Yeah.
Make him receiver.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, make him a corner. So you eventually fall into defense.
Yeah.
If I had a kid and I really wanted to play football, which is sadistic almost, but if I wanted to play football, I would start him at D from the beginning.
Yeah.
Imagine you're like Bane of defense. You were born in... I was born in this. I was born without the offense.
Yo, just middle linebacker, just body.
From the jump.
Gronk is a middle linebacker. That's crazy.
Son, how do you throw over it? Think about it. How do you throw over
defensive
the middle?
Defensive end, whatever he would play, it'd be fucking crazy.
Start your kid out on D.
Well,
that might be the wave.
It might be.
God, my Bane impression went away. I used to be able to kill that Bane shit, son.
No, I remember.
How do you do Bane? Do Bane.
That was all right.
I think. What is it? I think. Was it? I was Batman. I was born. No, that's Vader. I was born in the darkness, Batman. I was born in the darkness.
Really, you had it for about 2 seconds and that shit.
I gotta listen to that shit, son. I gotta listen to Bane.
That shit fell off a cliff,
bro. Damn, bro. All my shit sucks, Akash.
Oh, no, Doug. You want to talk about XFL or not since we're talking about football? Oh, my prediction, if we're doing predictions,
go.
I'm going to say 21-13 Patriots. I want to say maybe 16, something like that. I don't know if that's going to...
Oh, one touchdown is going to be the difference. Final drive that's, and game
seems
over.
To be the only way the Patriots win Super Bowls is on the final drive.
Really?
They've never won a Super Bowl by more than one score, I don't think. Think about it. And I think I've talked about this before. The first Super Bowl against St. Louis was a field goal at the end of the game. Second Super Bowl against, was it Carolina? I think also a field goal at the end of the game. Third Super Bowl against the Eagles. Eagles are driving, have a chance to win. They don't. Donovan McNabb is too fat. Fourth Super Bowl, Seattle, last play. Fifth Super Bowl, overtime. Only Super Bowl in history that went overtime. They don't win blowout Super Bowls. They just don't.
And why are they so good at
I don't fucking know. It's crazy. Even the two Super Bowls they lost, though, final drive they lost.
Oh, they just couldn't complete it.
Eli, remember Eli?
They lost. Yeah, but they didn't have the ball to lose it. If they have the ball to win it.
It's a wrap.
It is a wrap.
Knock on wood, because I hope they do it again. God, I hope the Eagles lose in the most heartbreaking fashion. I hope they're up 42-0 in like the second quarter, and then they just lose fucking 43-42, last second two-point conversion. That's what I hope for.
You want their hearts to break.
I want their hearts to fucking shatter.
Yeah, but don't you think it's just going to... It's just going to breed even more hatred.
You know, yeah, they say you got to let a drug addict hit bottom. That's what you got to let the Eagles fans do. Y'all got to hit bottom. Y'all got to be like, it cannot get any fucking lower than this. I need to turn my life around. I need to stop. Dog, they threw beer bottles at the Vikings bus after beating them 41-7. Who the fuck wins a blowout game and is still that big a piece of shit? My man is really looking up a fucking Bane impression right now.
Yo, what? I am. Yo. Yo, hold on. Let me get that shit.
It literally could not matter less.
Yo, I got that.
Fucking kidding me right now.
Nah, that's a bad one.
Oh my God, he's gonna find another clip.
Yo.
Jesus Christ.
I was born in the darkness. I don't need the light.
Stop it. To work on it. Come back next week.
Damn, so my shit is trash.
Come back next week.
Yo, Alex Media, what happened to my shit? My shit is trash, Alex Media. Fuck.
So the XFL.
Right. Because we needed, really, really needed Kaz to not take his groove back on this week because of this XFL shit, he would be perfect.
Yeah, man.
Wrestling thing.
Maybe we should have him come back next week and talk about it. It's going to be a story.
But we'll start it now.
Okay.
So the XFL gets brought back in 2020. Now, how amazing would it be if... Trump becomes the commissioner of it.
That's what we've been talking about, bro.
I know. That's what I was saying. He doesn't seek re-election.
Okay. Right? The best.
And he goes, what I really want to do is become the commissioner of the XFL in 2020. And he has a 49 million people, whoever fuck with him,
yep,
become their weekly
viewers.
And those
are the guys who retired to the NFL.
And those are the guys
people
that
having
retired
opinions
to the NFL.
And all that shit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Bruh.
So this could be, I don't think he'll do it, but this could be a perfect transition for him to, one, take down the NFL, which he has beef with from the jump.
And Trump don't lose.
Trump don't lose.
He's on a 30-year winning streak, this dude is.
It's crazy.
Ever since whatever he filed bankruptcy and came back, my man hadn't lost once.
Son, you know that he eats 3 meals of fast food a day? He's so paranoid about being poisoned that he won't let people cook for him. So he eats 3 meals of fast food a day. Yeah, and it randomly goes to a fast food joint so that they can't just throw some poison in.
He got to go drive through, right?
So no, deadass. It was in the that article that came out about how fucked up. Yeah, yeah. 3 meals of fast food. But I also heard about this for a while from like people in journalism. They're like, yeah, he's just eating KFC 3 times.
I heard this about Diddy. My homie did a music video shoot with Diddy. He said he was the worst job he's ever had. Mm-hmm. Diddy needs a bag of his own ice for drinks. Because he's worried. He's that worried someone's going to poison him.
Yo, how crazy is that? That shit is legit, yo.
Yeah.
Yo, dude, that shit is... it always... Have you ever realized that, like, it always happens right before, like, a major game or a major something like that? The quarterback gets sick. Oh, I got the flu this week.
Interesting.
Like, this all Baker Mayfield. In the playoffs. Baker Mayfield. Oh, I got the flu. Why do you think he got the flu? Randomly. Why do I think randomly on the week of the most important game of his life, he gets a flu? Of course he got fucking poisoned. Now, not poison to kill, but poison to affect what's going on. This always happens in sports, and we just kind of like tiptoe over it like it's not a big deal. Yeah. These motherfuckers are getting poisoned.
Some Mormon in Utah gave Michael Jordan some shit in 1997. Didn't fucking matter, though.
Now who believes in God? You know what I mean? Now who believes in destiny?
Oh, fuck.
Real talk. It's crazy. Motherfuckers are getting poison out here. Why are we not talking about this?
I mean, because it's a theory we just threw out there.
That's a good point. God, Akash, you out here making good-ass points.
I'm
logical, know.
Fam.
Yeah, you be so logical.
Yo.
You know what I mean? You know what was illogical?
I knew it was coming. I knew it was coming. I knew it was coming.
Walk away from that thick-ass dumpling. That thick-ass dumpling just walking, waddling around.
I saw it coming 3 lines
gosh.
Ago.
Gosh. Gosh golly. Fuck.
Oh, boy.
What part of India was she from?
I don't remember.
Bullshit.
You keep asking me like I'm gonna remember.
You told me what part she was from.
What'd I say?
Kashmir. Yo, any Indians that listen to this will really respect that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because it's part of India, not Pakistan.
It's Pakistan.
Pakistan.
Obama's the one guy in history that said that word right, in American history.
Yeah, because he's probably from there. Yeah, he's probably born in Pakistan.
Speaking of that accent, XFL. What? Who else is going to watch it besides them? Vince McMahon's entire speech, I heard a clip of it at least, was just running down every problem that middle-class white people, middle-American white people have with the NFL.
Ooh.
We're not going to hire anybody with a criminal record. If you have as much as a DUI, we're not going to hire you. This will not be a place for political platforms. We're not going to allow that. Faster pace, less commercials, which I guess a lot of us complain about, but like...
I actually like the pace of the NFL, but go on.
It was just a list of the top 20 complaints about the NFL, and a lot of them were from... middle American, white guys, I don't like this kneeling, blah, blah, blah. Too many criminals, blah, blah, blah. And it could get numbers because of that.
What rules do you think are going to change?
I don't know. He said we have two. And it was kind of Trump-like in that it was very vague. He didn't really offer any concrete solutions, but it sounded good to people who were fed up.
Figure it out.
Yeah. And it sounded, if you're fed up with the NFL, you're going to listen to that and be like, God, I like what this guy's saying, man. Goddamn.
And people love football. They watch college football.
Love football. He said he's going to try to make it safer. I don't know how the fuck you're going to make it safer.
That's a good question. How does he do that?
He's just saying it.
So he's just going to say everything that people want to hear and then not deliver. I wonder if there's anybody who's ever done
that. He's already
had
wrestlers kill themselves in there. He's had wrestlers with CTE for years. I don't know what he's done.
Ooh.
He made it a little safer. I don't think he's taking any real drastic measures.
They didn't make it a little safer, or they did?
They probably did, but I don't think they really made it safe.
You know what? I was speaking to this guy when I was filming this movie in West Virginia, and he used to play football. And I was like, "You got kids now. Would you let them play football?" And he goes, "Yeah, absolutely."
Yeah.
First person I've said say that. I go, "Why? Why is that?" And he goes, "So what am I going to do? Now they're not allowed to skateboard. Now they're not allowed to go ice skating. Now they're not allowed to rollerblade. Now they're not allowed to do all." And he runs through all the things that can also lead to head injury. And he's like, "Look, if they go play football." He said, listen, the problem is the way these guys tackle now. When we were tackling back in the day, we weren't going with our heads. We were tackling our shoulders and all this kind of stuff like that. There's things you can do, but you can't protect your kids. They're going to hurt themselves. You know, and it was an interesting way of looking at it.
Interesting way of looking at it. You're also, that's outside of the coast. I think a lot of people are still going to let their kids play football. But that shit of like, we tackled better. Motherfuckers been having CTE.
What'd they call it? PTSD.
They call it whatever, but they've been having... Tony Dorsett says he has CTE, and he played football in the 70s and 80s.
Right.
Maybe 80s, maybe whatever, but it was back in the day.
Right.
You know what I mean? So this is a thing that we're just now finding out what it is, so we act like it's new. It's not new.
So the XFL could crack. I'll be honest with you. I think the XFL wins if they play football exactly the way it's played now. No new rules or nothing different. Played exactly the way it's played now, and then just... market it differently. Everything's marketing. Market it with all the things he just said, but use the exact same rules of play. Everything you just said, exact same rules of play.
The main problem they're going to have is getting good players.
That's true. But here's the thing that I've realized with football. In college, there's no good players. In college, there's like one or two guys per team that are going to actually do anything in the NFL, and then the rest suck. And we watch college football. We even watch the teams that we don't care about. Because the college football, the NCAA brand is so strong that they've created something that we're interested in.
I think if you take away the best players on a college football team that are going to go to the NFL, that's basically the XFL, and none of us would give a fuck about. If college football didn't have Heisman candidates every year, didn't have the Baker Mayfield, the Lamar Jackson, whoever, we'd all be like, all right, I guess.
I don't know. I have a feeling that we might watch just if they put it at a time where we are thirsty for football and we're bored. If they put it during...
They're going to put it and they're not going to compete. I think they said 10 regular season games.
Baseball. I think it's 10 total, right?
Yeah.
So if they put it during baseball...
Yeah.
There's nothing worse than baseball. And there's that little window. There's that little fucking window.
Holy
where
fuck.
It's just baseball.
That's torture.
It's torture. It is torture for sports fans. Okay.
You know, to your point, when someone's getting tortured and you're starving to death and you just give them one morsel of food, it could be doo-doo. And they'll be like,
they'll eat that fucking doo-doo. They'll love that fucking doo-doo. So they're going to step in and two things are going to help it. One, there's nothing to play for sports highlights during that little window where it's just baseball.
Oh, it's true.
There's just some outfielder running and then making a diving catch. Right? There's a home run where, oh, we hit the ball. The ball
web
goes
gems.
Far.
Oh my exactly, God. Right? Shoot me.
That's
in the
all there is.
Face.
There's a guy sliding into second and he bumps into somebody and there's a collision. Oh my goodness. If there was only a sport that was made on collisions that we could watch at the same time, it might be more interesting.
Dugout's clear. One punch gets thrown.
One punch gets thrown.
That's the only fucking highlight they play all day.
Exactly. So you're telling me that during that small little window where we're dying for other sports entertainment,
yeah,
where basketball's not there yet, where soccer stupidly didn't become a summer sport, they try to go during the winter, which is the dumbest thing soccer guys could have ever thought about. You tell me we slide football in there, and you and I were definitely going to watch highlights. I'll watch a crazy catch. I'll watch a crazy run, and all it's going to take is a few of those highlights being interesting enough, and he's the king of marketing, this guy.
It could.
Getting the right people behind it. Just don't make it goofy. Back with the XFL originally, they made it goofy.
Yeah.
Stop. Do exactly how football is now. Just call it XFL and then tell us these lies that, oh, it's about being proud and home and all this other stuff.
Yeah.
And I really think it can work. Like, even if you look at the branding, how it is right here, it doesn't look extreme.
No.
It looks like the NFL branding. It's a normal, it looks like
they
a Bills jersey.
Italicized it.
It's just italicized it. That's all it is. I think if they do the exact same game, and they put it in that window and then don't get too greedy. Let it build in that window.
Yeah, yeah.
Remember what Mark Cuban said that you often bring up here. Don't try to take over every day. Just take one day.
Pigs get fat, hogs get slaughtered.
Bang.
Don't be a hog.
That's it. Just be a pig.
And if he's smart, include some of the wrestlers in the league.
Dude.
Put them on the line. You draw your whole wrestling.
Dude, you're making a very good point. And there's a few of those guys that are probably talented enough to at least play on a team.
Yeah.
That's real interesting. I don't know if that would work.
Imagine you could get that crossover. All they got to do is get lit up once, or all they got to do is get a single tackle.
Wrestling, they love, and this is kind of why the XFL failed, because wrestling, we love the pageantry of it. We love the arguing, the kind of carnival aspect of it. And that's what he did with the first XFL, and that's why it failed.
I think one of the reasons the XFL is because it became too failed is because it became too cartoonish. But that guy, that heavyweight that went to the UFC, whatever his name was, Brock Lesnar, he became the biggest draw in the UFC. He became the biggest draw in the UFC at the time, right? Now, granted, he's a massive person. All I'm saying is you can get these guys, if they're willing to put their bodies through it, and a lot of these guys wanted to play professional sports.
Yeah.
I bet you could get a few of
these
guys.
The Rock played at the U.
Shit, there we go. All I'm saying is there's possibilities.
All right, we'll see. 2020.
All right, before we get out of here, let's talk about this rapist doctor.
Yeah, this shit is so vile.
I know. Did you read it at all? I didn't read enough.
That shit makes my stomach turn.
Okay, so there's this doctor named Larry Nassar, and he was a doctor, I believe it was at Michigan State, right?
Yeah, Michigan State.
And but he was also the doctor for the women's gymnastics Olympic team.
Yeah.
And apparently what he was doing is for like years he was molesting these girls.
Yes.
Right under their parents' noses. Their parents were bringing them there. And he was kind of manipulating and tricking these girls into thinking that these were routine things that he was doing, which were absolutely disgusting. Here's the thing. I'm not a parent. You aren't a parent.
Right.
But I imagine being a parent, you're constantly worried about your kids getting fucked or molested, right? In general, right? Yeah. You're already worried about that.
Right.
Right? You're like, please let me not have a weird uncle. Please let me not have a weird grandfather. Please let me not have a weird friend.
Right.
Please, when I let my kid play with my friend's kid, please let my friend's kid not do something weird.
Yeah.
It's this constant fear you're probably living with molestation, right? Yeah. The one thing that probably doesn't enter your brain is there are some professionals that we put on such a pedestal that they would never harm a child. A doctor's too smart to harm a child, right? Like,
this is the U.S. Olympic national team.
And again, we're not talking about some fucking side of the road doctor, right? That's doing cheap abortions or something like that. We're talking about the U.S. Olympic team.
Yeah.
Right? You're gonna assume, like, that's what's so tragic about the parents. You're going to assume.
You're in good hands.
The best.
Yeah. Fuck.
We're not talking about good hands. The best Hey, if you tear your ACL and you're on an NBA team and they give you a doctor, you're going to assume it's the best doctor to fix your ACL. So they had the best gyno or whatever the fuck this guy was. I imagine he was a gynecologist if he was, you know, touching their vaginas or some shit. And then you find out that he's a serial
molester. He's a fucking monster.
It's a... Dude, it's one of those things where you're so angry you want everybody to take blame, and I get why they're going at everybody. You know, they're going at the head of the Michigan State basketball team, whatever, the Tom Izzo. They're going at the head of the committee.
He said some crazy shit, though.
What did he say? What did he say?
Something to the degree of if this is true, or like if these... He said something like, yeah, this is really tragedy if these girls are being honest, or something where it's just like... 180 girls in line, man. Just keep that shit.
Is
to
that
yourself.
How many?
150 came forward and read statements to him. Something like that. Yeah. The exact number is 130 to 150 from what I remember.
Even Cosby's like, God damn.
Bruh.
Motherfucker. Bruh. Ouch.
Bruh.
So here's this question. There were complaints? I wish there were complaints.
Apparently there were complaints.
And would the girls complain to each other?
I think to each other, but also apparently they complained to some of the administrators. Administrators heard the complaints, and then it was Joe Paterno, which I defended Joe Paterno. Apparently he had heard these rumors for a while, and he had it on good authority.
My understanding
was happening.
Was Joe Paterno went to the, I'm not absolving him of guilt, but he went to the
That's
directors.
What I thought, and then from what I understand, the report that came out, the really in-depth investigation said he knew and didn't do anything. Just kind of didn't want to deal
with it.
Disgusting. Yeah.
What I can't understand... Is this guy's not Belichick? Like, if word got around the Patriots.
Yeah, that's a great point.
Right? That Belichick was diddling these little 5'10 white receivers that he keeps getting.
Yeah.
Right? And then all of a sudden you'd be like, it is interesting why he always gets these 5'10 slow white receivers. Right.
Yeah.
They probably wouldn't say anything if he was diddling them the whole time. Right? You're not going to be able to diddle, you know, Randy Moss for more than a season.
Right.
You know what I mean? Or, you know,
my man respects his asshole too much.
He respects his asshole. He out. Right. You know what I mean? But like, you could get these little white guys.
Right.
Jewish white dudes.
Right.
Give them an opportunity to play in the NFL.
Yeah.
And then you diddle them up a little bit. Nobody's going to say anything.
Right.
Right. And then I can understand how the organization would keep it quiet because it's like, well, we're winning fucking. And this is the mastermind behind our winning.
Yeah.
This guy is giving pappy smears. He's not teaching them how to tumble or backflip or do cartwheels or go in the fucking.
He's really a
disposable.
Yeah,
you could get rid of him.
Yeah.
Why are these complaints going on deaf ears?
I don't know.
He does, if it's like a coach. Now we have to understand the U.S. female Olympic team is like the most winning female. What's it called? Gymnastics or anything? The most winning gymnastics team in history.
Ugh.
So. I understand if it's a coach. I don't understand. It's gross, but I understand more so if it's a coach. If they're like, okay, let's keep it quiet. We got a good thing going here.
Right.
You know what I mean? This guy's, you know, it might be fingering
you
him.
You don't
fingering him
prove
into greatness.
You don't, but you see how it happens if it's an indispensable part of this machine.
I see it. I see how that. I don't approve. I think it's disgusting.
Right.
But again, if it's Belichick or if it's, you know, some coach that's making all
these
goals.
You can see why people would let their whatever lapse in judgment.
Exactly.
But you can't
and it happens
see this.
All the fucking. That's why priests get away with it, right? It's like, oh, a priest is doing something, but I want to go to heaven, and a priest is going to talk to God, and I go to heaven.
And
da, da, da.
You know what really, like, you always think this shit is vile.
Yeah.
I was listening to the ticket.
This
and
is not a priest. This is the guy who cleans the church.
Here's what made me really understand how fucking vile is he talked about, like, a lot of times these victims, the guy that's molesting them manipulates them into thinking they're the ones that are doing wrong, and that's why they're ashamed to tell people.
Uh-huh.
And that, for some reason, really hammered home exactly how vile it was. And then when I heard that, I was like, yo, every one of these victims should be able to shoot him in the fucking face. Whereas before, it was, death penalty, this is a monster. Now it's like, oh, every bit of bad shit that's going to happen to him in prison, good.
Yo, there's a chick, I think Allie Raisman is her name.
Yeah.
Her speech...
This bitch right here.
Really?
Woo! She was staring right at this dude.
Good for her, man.
Like, she had what she had written on the page, but she would take the line in and then deliver it right to his fucking face.
Mm.
I mean...
Yeah.
That's a gold medalist. You know what I mean? Like, you see the type of bravery this shit, you know what I mean? Like, you like that same, I don't give a fuck, that same grind, that same courage.
That's greatness.
Is probably what leads you to greatness.
That's greatness.
Like, yo, this chick
you cannot
was,
break me. Oh,
you
that's
cannot
dope as
break
fuck.
Me.
That's dope as fuck.
I was hyped off of that shit.
Yeah, that's dope as fuck.
Anyway, I just want to speak to like some of these administrators and try to understand why they couldn't replace this guy. You could replace this guy with 1,000 other. Other and another thing is, why do you have a man doing gynecological exams? Women
Bruh.
Outnumber men in the medical fields. There, it is harder to find a man than it is a woman to do doctory shit.
Well, gynecology in particular is completely female-centric.
Son, I don't even understand male gynecologists, and I think we've spoken about this before, but like, let's say you are a male gynecologist, right? All you're seeing are pussies that are fucked up.
Yo.
You're seeing pussies that got bumps on them, pussies that are stinking, pussies that are burning, pussies that got like some, that may bleeding too much or something like that. You're seeing pussies in their worst case. So even if you were a pervert, why would you want to see worst case pussies? Be an esthetician.
Yeah, you then you were a real pervert.
Maybe as you're a real pervert. But it's just like, it's like these people.
We did shows in Malaysia, and then I did the club after you, and then when I came, there was a dude who was a gynecologist, and I was just like, why?
What is wrong with you, bro? Like, how could you even trust a male gynecologist? I won't even trust.
You know what?
A
you
male
know how much we shouldn't. You know how much we shouldn't.
Would you
trust
a female dick doctor?
You know how much we shouldn't trust male gynecologists.
Go.
What was Bill Cosby on the Cosby Show?
A fucking gynecologist.
Motherfucker.
Oh, shit.
Motherfucker.
Oh shit.
Motherfucker.
Bars.
Motherfucker.
Oh, bars.
Motherfucker.
All I'm saying, like, fuck, like it's just. The risk is so much higher. If you're a parent, bring your daughter to the gynecologist and it's male. It's just like, I don't believe in male babysitters. I'm sorry. I don't believe in it because the risk is so high. Why? If I have a daughter or son and I have a female babysitter, right? Maybe the female babysitter diddles my son or something like that. Whatever. And look, I know it sounds fucked up that I'm not caring as much about it, but I feel like for whatever, my dad admitted that he got diddled by his babysitter. He came out pretty good. He was a great dad. He's a great dad. Do you know what I mean? He's a great loving dad.
He's a good guy.
And the story was kind of goofy the way he told it. It was kind of, but you can affect a woman's entire life.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like tragically affect their entire life. A male babysitter is not worth it. No fucking peekaboo game that you're playing with your kid, my kid, is worth it. I'm going to be prejudiced
and
when
if,
it comes
if
to babysitters.
If you're the dude, listen, I think kids are great. I think I'm good with kids. And I was like, oh, that would be a great way to make money when I first moved here. But I was like, but I'm not going to. I won't even allow myself to be in a room alone with a kid.
Too risky.
No, yeah, because
too
like,
tempting,
just
huh?
The accusation alone, you're fucking ruined.
Yeah. Oh, that's right.
You're ruined.
Yeah,
so if you're a guy who's thinking clearly, you're like, yo, I don't even need anybody to whisper this shit.
Yeah. Good point.
So
yeah.
I think if you're in your right mind, you're like, it's a little crazy to be gynecologist, male nanny, like, maybe I'm not saying they're all crazy, but it's a little crazy to do.
No, it's just weird.
You're really a risk taker.
You're
even
a fucking risk taker.
Well-adjusted dude.
So now we have the U.S. Olympic team hiring a male gynecologist for these girls. It just doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense why. And again, I don't care if we're being objective or any of that kind of shit. It's just the risk is higher. It's a little bit more risk you don't have to deal with. I don't know about this famous female gynecologist who's out there serial molesting women. I don't know if that's happening.
And again,
happened.
If you're a normal guy who, like, why would you be like, oh, I want to be the gynecologist for the U.S. Olympic women's team?
Because you want gold medalist pussy, you fucking creep. That's what it is. Just regular pussy wasn't enough. Who's that?
Hey, Paisab. My man's Indian.
Oh, what's up, Maji? Thank you for ruining everything. He heard gold medalist pussy. He creeped in. He's like, I'm a guy, no gala. Anyway, bro, I got to get out of here.
Yep.
Dude, this has been another episode of Flagrant 2. Analysis by assholes, throw them assholes up. We'll see you guys at the live show February 7th. Make sure you come through Highline Ballroom for tickets.
Buy tickets.
Get your tickets right now. I'm going back on tour. Views from the Sis. It's going to be in LA February 3rd. That shit is sold out. Thank you guys so much for selling that shit out. We got tour dates up at theangelschultz.com. Make sure you check it out. And Akash, you want to give some thanks?
No. Live show February 7th, 2018, 8 p.m. Highline Ballroom. Come through. If you show us plane tickets, train tickets, we put you on stage. We don't give a fuck. Also, get that merch, www.flagrant2merch.com. Hurry up before you get that cease and desist. That's all I got to plug, bro. So thank you guys for listening. We'll catch you next week. God bless.